This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Rural communities need help with infrastructure and labor, according to the head of the American Farm Bureau Federation, and they may start to get it soon. Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall told House Ag lawmakers recently, rural America suffers from more than poverty and food insecurity, but also from a lack of labor and the digital divide in broadband infrastructure.
Our rural communities continue to struggle for a number of reasons, whether it be health care, whether it be education, whether it be lack of broadband, whatever it might be that brings jobs there.
The latest COVID relief bill has more than $7.5 billion for broadband for schools and libraries.
And that's what's important. We need to rebuild our rural communities, make sure that they have the broadband, help us create some jobs there for our people.
The FCC has 60 days under the new COVID relief bill to set up an emergency connectivity fund of $7.6 billion for computers and broadband service for students and library patrons. The House this week could also take up the Farm Workforce Modernization Act to help meet a shortage of migrant farm labor, though the bigger hurdle is the 50-50 Senate, where 60 votes are needed to pass the most major legislations. Farm supply cooperatives and distributors are positioned to benefit from an active and profitable spring agronomy season, according to a new report from CoBank. The report says the profitable spring is driven by high commodity prices, strong input demand, and an expected increase in planted acres of soybeans, corn, and wheat. Ag retailers began the 2021 planting season with favorable industry fundamentals and an opportunity to expand profit margins, according to the report. A CoBank researcher says improving profits for cooperative agronomy departments should help cushion the negative carry caused by an inversion in futures prices. Given the higher acreage forecast, the farmers are expected to purchase more fertilization products during the spring planting season. Rising fertilizer prices are also a positive indicator for new sales and retailer margins. Inventory levels of seed, fertilizer, and crop protection products are largely expected to be sufficient for the projected increase in spring planted acres. However, pandemic logistics challenges may impact delivery. And the Department of Agriculture is requesting public input on climate-smart agriculture and forestry strategies. The request follows President Biden's executive order on tackling the climate crisis at home and abroad. The executive order states that America's farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners have an important role to play in combating the climate crisis and directs Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack to solicit input from stakeholders as USDA develops a climate-smart agricultural and forestry approach. Vilsack states, "We want your ideas on how to position the agriculture and forestry sectors to be leaders on climate-smart practices to mitigate climate change." The request was published in a Federal Register notice, which will be available for public input until April 30th and is available online through the Federal Register. The notice seeks information on four topics: climate-smart agricultural and forestry, biofuels, bioproducts, and renewable energy, catastrophic wildfires, and meeting the needs of disadvantaged communities through USDA's climate strategy. In other ag news from around the country, a longtime corn industry member and advocate for corn farmers is retiring. Gary Marshall, CEO of the Missouri Corn Growers Association, began his transition to retirement Friday after a 34-year career at Missouri Corn. Marshall calls his time representing the corn industry a tremendous run, focusing on national issues.
We've been involved in a lot of the major issues that all of us have dealt with here in the last 30 years or so. When I first started, we had prices that probably started with a one. We were looking at 3-4 billion bushels worth of a carryover. Depression in agriculture, things were pretty bad back in those days. And we've had a lot of battles over the years with the oil industry and with some of the environmental organizations, but here it is 30-some years later, and we have a tremendous ethanol market out there. The livestock, poultry, dairy markets continues to be extremely strong, and now we have exports that are really picking up. So it's been an amazing turnaround to take a look at where our markets are today.
A highlight of his career, Marshall says, would be the RFS.
I remember having some real arguments, both with the National Corn Grower staff and with some of the ethanol industry, that we wanted to grow the industry quickly. They wanted to grow it more slowly. And they were concerned, you know, about what might happen whenever you do something different like this. And our thing was, hey, let's get it started. Let's see where it goes. So I remember battling for an 8 billion gallon market for ethanol in 2005. We settled, I think, on 7.5. 2 years later, we doubled that up to 15 billion gallons.
And that work continues. On his last day, the Environmental Protection Agency announced a year-round E15 for the Kansas City metro area. And in the future, he says ethanol fits into the climate priorities of the Biden administration.
Reality is, both in the U.S. and on a global basis, we're going to continue to have internal combustion engines, you know, for the next 15, 20, 25 years as we try to move over to, some sort of an electric or hybrid electric or hydrogen type of future. But in the meantime, it's going to be primarily gasoline, and hopefully it's going to be a larger number of E20, E25, E30 that we're going to move to with some of the new vehicles.
After 34 years at Missouri Corn, he says the next 34 years for the organization will focus on similar priorities.
Hopefully farmers continue doing what they do best, which is growing corn, growing soybeans, growing wheat, and growing some livestock here in some of these hills in Missouri. So my hope for the future is we continue to see, real profitability in the farming sector for everybody across the board. And hopefully, you know, with good corn prices, that stabilizes the livestock prices as well. So looking forward to that type of thing in the future.
Bradley Shad takes over as CEO, previously focusing on market development at Missouri Corn.
He's got a great staff, number one, and he's also got a tremendous board. So all he has to do is put a lot of trust in those folks. And people that we've worked with have a clear vision for the future. They see us continuing to engage on new markets, whether they be domestic or international. They see more ethanol in the future. I think they also see some regulatory issues that are going to be concerning to them. So he's going to have his hands full, but Bradley's got 12 years worth of experience with Missouri Corn, so he knows what we do inside and out. He's a world-renowned expert on ethanol. I think Bradley will do a tremendous job.
Marshall says he'll continue to stay involved on some issues, including acting as chair of the Triazine Network, along with perhaps some more golf and fishing, and having a little bit more fun. Moving along now into State of Illinois Ag News, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is promoting fishing safety as spring weather arrives. DNR Conservation Police Captain John Williamson says fishing boats are starting to populate Illinois bodies of water a lot more in recent weeks. He encourages checking regulations and notes a change could be on the way in regards to fish size limits.
Any lake you go to, you want to make sure and check the regulations, because it's gotten so specific with the management guidelines that we have all over Illinois that every lake is different almost. So you want to keep that in mind. Probably the species that's fished for the most at Clinton Lake is crappies. It's a 9-inch minimum length limit, 15 a day. That's something else that may be a change. We had just had a plan of work meeting, and the fish biologist was talking about it and may change that up a little bit. So pay attention to that in the next couple of years. There may be a change there, because they have different regulations for different management that needs to take place. Once you start getting a bunch of younger stock, then people start keeping 9-inch fish, then you lose your bigger fish. Well, the bigger fish are the ones that are your real breeders, that sort of stuff. So maybe you need to switch back and start keeping maybe some of the smaller ones and protect the larger fish. And that's kind of an idea that just, the fisheries biologists, that's what they get paid for. That's what they do.
Williamson implores boaters to make sure they have life jackets on board and all motor boats are in good working condition. He also points out those fishing licenses expire at the end of the month, so if you need your license renewed, visit dnr.illinois.gov. And the warmer than normal weather here recently across Illinois has many farmers itching to get into the field and get some work done, but they aren't the only ones. Gardeners also are chomping at the bit to get out and get to work. Nancy Kreef is an extension educator in horticulture with the University of Illinois. She says we probably aren't quite ready to go just yet.
Oh, I say we still have a 2 to 3 weeks. It really depends where you're at. So what you want to do is look for your local frost-free date. And so you can look at the National Weather Service or your local weather service to determine when they're predicting the last frost And so for our cool season crop varieties, things like lettuce and root crops, you could plant those 4 to 6 weeks before that frost-free date.
She says the early season garden crops can be put in the ground as soon as you can work the soil.
Exactly. The hardiest of all crops are going to be your broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kale, kohlrabi, leek, onion, pea, rutabaga, spinach, and turnip. So as soon as you could get out there and work the soil, then those could be planted. They're really tough plants.
It's worth waiting at least a couple weeks after the predicted frost-free date to make sure the less than hardy garden crops won't get caught by a surprise frost.
I mean, you always want to give yourself a little bit of wiggle room in case there happens to be a late frost. So we're predicting there's not going to be a frost, but you never know with the weather. So usually I might give it another week or so to plant the warm season stuff like tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers. They're not going to tolerate any kind of frost. They're very tender, and so you wait until things look good in the clear. And after waiting a week or two after, that is not going to hurt because you'll still have plenty of time in the growing season to get a good crop.
Creef says a category of garden produce she calls half-hardy crops can get planted more than one time in a year.
So those are the vegetables that are going to fall between the hardy and your tender vegetables. So half-hardy vegetable list includes a lot of your root crops, beets, carrots, potato, and then you could get in cauliflower, Chinese cabbage, leaf lettuce, mustard greens, parsnip, Swiss chard, and also another root crop would be radish. And so those you could plant 2 to 3 weeks before that frost-free date in your area.
Half-hardy crops like carrots, lettuce, beets, and cauliflower can typically be planted between late March and early May, and many of them can be planted again from mid-July to early September. Again, Nancy Creef is with the University of Illinois Extension Service. And moving on now to local ag news on a Tuesday, Montgomery County farmers are taking advantage of the new Illinois Department of Agriculture program called Fall Covers for Spring Savings. Established in 2020, the Fall Covers for Spring Savings rewards farmers who plant cover crops for the IDOA program, and they'll receive a $5 per acre discount on their federal crop insurance. The IDOA program is limited to the first 50,000 acres enrolled. It's the second year of the program, and Montgomery County farmers reported 9,427 acres, or 5% of the Illinois total of 185,050 acres statewide. The Montgomery County acreage was the most acres applied for of any of the 86 reporting counties in the state. Montgomery County ended up having 1,317 acres accepted into the program. This acreage represents 2.5% of the 50,000 acres accepted statewide for the $5 savings per acre. The Fall Covers for Spring Savings is patterned after an Iowa Department of Agriculture program established in 2019 of 1 million acres. Chris Reynolds, local Roundtree Township farmer and Midwest Regional Director of the American Farmland Trust, championed the initiative and moved the legislation through the Illinois General Assembly. The Fall Covers for Spring Savings program accomplishes a great deal towards conservation here in Illinois by reducing soil and water erosion and wind erosion, especially in the spring. In addition, the program reduces the amount of fertilizer nutrients leaving the farm field, thus improving water quality. These facts are especially important for our local drinking water out of our lakes and reservoirs here in Montgomery County. If you take a drive around rural Montgomery County and you see green fields in the early spring, these are either fields of winter wheat coming out of dormancy or fields of cover crop. Take time to thank the farmers of these fields as they're protecting two of our most valuable resources here in Illinois, our farmland and the water we drink. If you like what Montgomery County conservation farmers are doing with Fall Covers for Spring Savings, contact your local legislator and ask them to continue funding of this outstanding initiative. In other local ag news, this time from Macoupin County, don't forget the Macoupin County Ag Education Foundation is still offering those scholarships for the upcoming school year. Applicants must be a graduating high school senior or a current college student who plans to attend or is currently attending an Illinois junior college, university, or career technical education program and is majoring in agriculture. Applications are available through a high school guidance counselor in Macoupin County or high school ag instructor, or from the Macoupin County Farm Bureau directly. An electronic copy of the application can be requested through email at mcfb@frontiernet.net, and all applications must be submitted to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office by March 26th. That's a week from this coming Friday. Any and all questions can be directed to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office in Carlinville at 854-2571. And this coming Sunday, don't forget, the Gillespie FFA chapter will be having a drive-through chicken dinner. It'll be held behind the Gillespie High School in the bus drive-through. Again, the Gillespie FFA chapter holding a drive-through chicken dinner this coming Sunday, March 21st, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on a Tuesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Tuesday morning, March 16th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.